Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
95.7 The Game presents
Warriors World Radio.
Featuring the one and only Andy Liu.
Grow up. Yeah, you grow up.
And Sam Esfandiari.
So, who are you? Why do I gotta talk to you?
This is Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari, Warriors World Warrior. You know, it's 7 p.m. It's Sunday night. What are people watching on? What's the show now that people watch?
Succession.
Succession, is that a show? Is that good, Carl? Is it called? No. Yes.
I think it's great. I'm all in. I'm waiting for you to get all in, but
I only watch Korean dramas and Japanese reality television shows. That's what I do. That and Steph Curry. That's what I watch. Those
you
three things.
You don't even watch the Niners today?
Yeah, the Niners look pretty good today. Joe Shasky and Bonte, who just finished their show. Those guys must have been just screaming in here for the last couple hours. Had to be.
Shasky looks phenomenal. Shasky gets me excited about the Niners. I'm not even a Niners fan. He makes me a Niners fan.
The thing about Shask is he does the show, and then he walks out, and you say hi to him, and he is the exact same person in real life. He's not fake. You know, there's a lot of media.
Biggest compliment you can give a person.
Yeah. A lot of media personalities out there who are very fake. They do one thing on Twitter. Then you see them in real life. They're an entirely different person. No. Shask is. He comes out and he goes, we're hosting a playoff game this year.
I mean, the way it's going, they might have home field the whole way at this point.
They might go 16-0. It is crazy that the Niners, the Warriors, who, you know, it's a Warriors World Radio show. The Warriors, you know, the dynasty, you know, is on a brief pause for now, I guess you could say, and then Warriors fans get the Niners. It works out perfectly.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could be worse. If you want to join the show, 888-957-9570. We have a special guest in 10 minutes? Yeah, 12 minutes, 7:15.
Should we review who the special guest is?
Oh, I think we have to.
I remember listening to this man, Jim Barnett, when I was a kid, through the tough years. And he pretty much made the games enjoyable for me and made basketball fun. And, you know, when Michael Peters was busy stepping out of bounds, you know, on another pump fake drive, you know, he made it good. You know, when Derek Fisher was,
When Antoine Jameson was dribbling into his 25th 18-footer of the game.
Steven Jackson taking... Yeah, well, the Steven Jackson years weren't so bad, actually. Shouldn't bring
that up. At least Jackson was part of a playoff team, which not a lot of other people could have said for that era.
By the way, so we'll have Jim Barnett on. He'll talk about pretty much everything that's going on with the season right now. Game one of the preseason, not so great. Game two of the preseason, pretty great. We'll go into... what's been going on, what we should expect for both teams.
Are you like me? It's the first time there's a lot of mystery around this team in about 5 years. Like, I don't really know what to expect. We know Steph's great. And beyond that, there's just question marks all over the, you know, not bad question marks, not good question marks, just a lot of unknowns. Like, D'Angelo Russell had a great year with the Nets, but we haven't seen him play on the Warriors.
And he hasn't looked so great on the Warriors. Maybe we can start there. He hasn't looked that great on the Warriors, D'Angelo. I think he's having some trouble learning how to play off ball.
Yeah, I think both he and Draymond have alluded to the fact that they're playing themselves into shape. I don't know. I'm willing to give it some time, but they both look a little slower than normal to start. And it's preseason, you know. Anthony Slater actually had a great piece today that essentially, D'Angelo Russell messed up his knee by overworking in the offseason a couple years ago. And because of that, he puts a premium on not overworking in the offseason, doing individual work but not playing too much pickup, which is to say he knows entering preseason he doesn't have game legs under him, and he's using preseason to get his game legs.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I think that's a fair point. He is still pretty young. The thing about D'Angelo is he's around 20, I want to say 23. Yeah, 23. So he's a young guy. He hasn't shown really anything for you to say that he's injury prone, so it's nothing like that. He's had a few injuries, but I think he's it's such a big question mark because they also need him to not only play well with Steph, which I think he'll be fine. They need him to carry the second unit, and that second unit
they need him to be a legitimate playoff second option. They don't need him to be the best player on the team. That's Steph Curry, but they need him to kind of, you know, replicate Klay Thompson's production at minimum. They need him to get 20 points a game in a fairly efficient manner. They need him to be a playmaker. He can't just be a guy who's, you know, just kind of fitting in and being kind of a role player. They need him to stand out.
And the thing with that is, let's be very clear. It's not like Klay Thompson was carrying that second unit either. It wasn't like he was some, and really Kevin Durant even had some trouble with that second unit. It really is any time that Steph Curry is sitting down, the Warriors' offense stumbles a little bit. So we'll see what happens on the flip side of that. That second preseason game, Sam, 40 points in 25 minutes. The Warriors win by 20, and really Steph Curry set the by the way, somebody said Jim Parnett is the grandpa everyone loves from the text line. He really set the blueprint on how the Warriors should and will win games this season. And
yeah,
it's to have a great Steph game. It's very simple. There's no analysis there.
Steph makes shots. Warriors win. Yeah. No, Steve Kerr had this to say today.
He's seen everything that's come his way. So teams have played him every possible way that you could think of, and he's had years now to work on counters, and so he's kind of in his sweet spot right now, and he has been, I think, you know, the last couple of years. And hopefully that continues for the next few years. But he's an amazing player.
Oh boy, that was.
Steve Kerr essentially saying he thinks Steph's at his peak right now, kind of insinuating he's at that peak of both physical and mental skill. He's seen every defense. He knows how to counter every defense. And, you know, he hasn't started his physical decline yet. So, you know, they're going to need a lot from Steph this year. You turn on the studio shows on the cable news networks, and you know they make it sound like Steph's proven nothing in the league, and this is his, you know, this is his make it or break it year. Like he has something to prove. Like,
yeah.
He's not a 3-time champion, 2-time MVP.
Yeah, I saw a lot of what ESPN or maybe SI or ranked him like 6th in the league, and then it's is he good enough to lead the Warriors? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I don't really understand ranking him below Anthony Davis and then being like, Steph has to prove he can lead a team. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Actually, I do know what it is. It has everything to do with marketing and what team they want to drive the ratings. But that's another discussion.
That's another discussion where NBA ratings are going down. And maybe we should throw that in a topic in the second hour. But we'll be here.
Yeah, maybe if you covered the game the way it happened instead of how you want it to happen, the ratings might, you know, kind of mirror what you think they should.
Yeah. So with Steph and the rest of the team this season, a couple minutes before we had to break, very interesting situation with both the center and the small forward position. So last year, and really the last few years, the only things we would talk about in terms of rotation minutes are like, hey, who's going to be playing the eighth man? Who's the ninth man? Now, to be fair, Marquese Chriss and Glenn Robinson III are probably eighth men or ninth men. However, the Warriors are now stuck in a situation where both guys might be starting come the first game of the regular season. What do we think about Glenn Robinson III? What do we think about Marquise? By the way, both look pretty good in the second preseason.
They looked excellent. I don't know what to make of it. I didn't know Marquese Chriss could pass. By the way, only Steve Kerr could turn Marquese Chriss into a playmaker. And I mean that as a compliment. no one else could have Marquese Chris averaging like 5 assists a game. But, you know, that's happened the first couple preseason games. We'll see if that holds up.
Steve Kerr, the arrogance and the intelligence to turn Marquese Chris, who I don't think we think of as a high IQ player, into a playmaker.
But it is an interesting question. I kind of want to get into it with JB and later in the show. Do the Warriors, if the Warriors keep Marquese Chris, they're going to have to cut a wing. So the real question is, do they need that extra big when Cauley-Stein and Looney come back from their injuries? Sounds like Looney's going to be back soon. Willie Cauley-Stein probably the end of the month at the earliest. Or do they need that extra wing? Because to me, that's the real question.
Well, I think to answer that, it's really the Warriors now, after the big guys, after Draymond, Steph, and D'Lo and Looney. It's, by the way, I threw Looney in there because he's a rotation piece now. But it really is whoever is the best player, I think, almost. Whereas, like in the NFL.
You're not even worried about the position at this point. You're just like, I just want the guy who's most likely to make a positive impact.
It's like drafting players, right? Best player available, instead of drafting for need. So I think that's what the Warriors have to do. If you think Marquese Chris is a better player than Alphonso McKinney, I mean, you got to do it. That's what you have to do. And it's not like McKinney's playing well where you're like, oh, maybe we have to have him play, right? And Alec Burks, by the way, hasn't even played yet. So it's very...
And Burks, different type of player than McKinney or Glenn Robinson III, but at least Burks has been a regular rotation player in the NBA. Is always a positive.
Yeah, he's played well before, so that's interesting. I can't believe that's really the biggest question mark coming into the preseason. The Warriors don't have a starting three or a starting center.
Yeah, at least with the center, they know what they want to do when guys get healthy. Like, you know, you can count on Looney to produce to a certain level. Willie Cauley-Stein's been a starter. Small forward, I don't know about that one. It's a little more of a question mark at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a ways to go. Steve Kerr's actually got to coach this team. We'll ask JB about it. He goes to practices. He's obviously talking about the games, talking to the players. So Jim Barnett's going to be back on the other side of the line. You're listening to Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari on Warriors World Radio.
Now back to Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
The Warriors over under is 48.5 wins this season. The eighth seed in the Western Conference last season won 48 games, Sam.
These are both facts.
So, in order for the Warriors to make the playoffs, they need to win, you would think, 48 games. I don't think there are any teams that didn't make the playoffs last season that are going to be better than the Warriors, or that you can probably say are markedly better than the Warriors. So, I think 48 is about what the Warriors are going to have to get
that
to.
That said, the Pelicans, the Kings, maybe even Dallas, they all look good. Like, this is, if it was an open 16-team playoff, I feel pretty confident 10 or 11 teams in the West would make it.
Yeah.
Like the Pelicans would be a lock in the East to make the playoffs.
Zion Williamson looks pretty good.
Yeah, the hype looks real.
Yeah, the hype looks good. Good for David Griffin. All right. Well, you are listening to Warriors War Radio. Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari. We have a Warriors legend on now, Jim Barnett. Jim, sir, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. You're in L.A. with the team right now?
Yeah, we just arrived about an hour and a half ago.
Got it. Yeah, so you're going to be, what's the next game? It's tomorrow. They're going to play them, what, for the 50th time, you think, this preseason? Is that the number we're at, Jim?
I think it's going to be like three times in a row, because we play down here Monday, Wednesday, and then I believe we play the Warriors play the Lakers again Friday back at Chase Center.
So they played – now, the Warriors, game one, they played the Lakers, and that was very interesting in Chase's first game. They looked much better in the second game. What was kind of the difference between the two games that you saw?
Well, in the first game, you know, the Warriors, it's hard to really find out what they're going to be like because their bigs are all hurt. And in game number one, Anthony Davis had a field day. It looks like he was playing against high school kids because the Warriors had no interior presence whatsoever. That's what I noticed that really stuck out with me. He just went down the middle. They'd throw the ball to him. He did anything he wanted to do. They couldn't stop him. At one point, I think, you know, I'm sitting in the stands watching the game because I'm only working the away games on radio. And so I'm watching it, and I believe at one time, He had 13 points, and I think the Warriors had 11 or 12. I know that he'd outscored the Warriors for a good part of that first quarter anyway. So that was the first thing. And then, obviously, the second game, the Warriors played much, much better, but they're still getting beaten on the boards, offensive rebounds and all of those things. But Karl-Anthony Towns didn't hurt them, and, of course, Stephen Curry came up with 40 points in, 25 minutes or something. So he had one of those games where he goes off, and that's going to happen.
You're listening to Warriors World Radio. Jim Barnett on with us. Jim, this is Sam. You mentioned the Warriors dealing with injuries at the center position specifically right now. One player who's really caught Steve Kerr's eye in training camp is Marquese Chriss. I thought he played he looked good in the first game. I thought he looked really good in the second game. We got a chance to start. Do you think he's going to make the team? And more to the point, do you think he should make the team?
I will go out on a limb and say yes and yes. You know, he was the eighth pick a few years ago. He had a great rookie season. I don't know what's happened. I don't know. But I do know this, that anybody that comes to the Warriors, they're going to get the best out of the Warriors organization. And the team is going to get the best out of them. And I don't know if there were any personal problems or why he wasn't playing as much over the last 2 years. But, Sam, I'm going to tell you something. I can tell who has talent and who can play. And Marquese Chriss can play. I don't see how you could not keep him on the roster based upon what I've seen. And he's a guy. You don't have to run plays for him. He goes and finds the ball himself. He makes the play. He can get to the glass. He's active. He's strong. He's a big guy. He's got skills. And I like him a lot. I like him a lot. And not only do I think that that he's going to be on the roster, I know it's tough because, you know, I've been looking at the numbers here and the guys that are signed and, you know, the free agents that they picked up and Glenn Robinson III and Burks. And, you know, Smolajic is going to be good for the future. He's only 19 years old. They're real high on him. Damian Lee, a two-way player, he can come in, and he's got no fear. But so those guys are going to be there. And I don't know who the casualty is going to be exactly. And, you know, I'm listening to all these players, but I can tell you right now, Marquese Chriss can play in the NBA.
Wow. And he was a former lottery pick as well. It does look like Alphonso McKinney, JP, might be the guy that may be on the short end of this. So,
yeah, I don't think he has a guaranteed contract.
Right.
He's been with the Warriors, you know, last year he did fine. He was, who was he with, Toronto before? Mm-hmm. So third year in the league. But, yeah, I think you know what you're going to get with him. With Marquise, I think the upside is much higher because – I don't know whether he can be a star or not, but he can be a very good player in this league.
Yeah, and the Warriors, really, they have maybe 4 to 5 guys, you would say, that are going to be really good right now. And really, that's what they need. They need to develop guys that obviously had talent. That's why Marquese Chriss was drafted so high, right? So how about – so you're in L.A. right now. You're with the team. I am curious to see the way Steve Kerr runs the offense this season. As of now, across two games, it doesn't seem like there are too many changes. Someone like Jordan Poole seems like almost he's running the place that would be there for Klay Thompson. So in talking to Steve, do you think that they're making wholesale changes on offense? And if they are, what are kind of the adjustments that you think they're going to make now that, you know, they're out KD, they're out Klay?
Yeah, well, they're going to have to make some adjustments, and there will be a little more one-on-one. And we've seen that already because – you've got two players that can do that with the ball in their hands, and one of them obviously is Stephen Curry, and the other is D'Angelo Russell, who likes to play that way. And they absolutely have to have one of those players on the floor at all times, either Curry or Russell. Now, they'll play together. They don't have to play together all the time, but you can't take them both out at the same time. I believe one of those guys has to stay on the floor, have a score like that. I'm really high on Jordan Poole. I didn't know much about him out of college. I think Jordan Poole is one of those guys that's going to be a better pro than he was in college. First of all, there's less structure in the NBA for someone. And so he knows how to move without the ball. He's not afraid to shoot. He's not afraid of the moment. He's got a lot of confidence. I think he's got a strong mentality, mental toughness, and I like that. And by the way, when Clay comes back, you got Curry, Russell, Poole, and Thompson. Those are four damn good shooters. And if they're out there, I don't know whether they're going to be out there together. They might be. They go really small. But it's going to be an up and down game, and it's going to be hard to you're not going to be able to double team anybody. And I think the Warriors could have a pretty interesting lineup that way with four players that can really shoot the basketball.
Absolutely. You in following up on Jordan Poole, like you, I didn't know too much about him out of college, and I've been really impressed in preseason by what I've seen, as much just kind of the mental toughness playing through the game as the obvious skill you see when you see him shoot and some of the moves he pulls off. My question for you is, how much should fans be reading into what we're seeing from him in the preseason? Should they be getting really excited, or should they kind of temper expectations with Jordan Poole?
I don't know. Everyone's different on that kind of thing. I can't go in the minds of all the coaches.
Sure.
And stuff. And I haven't, you know, I take the summer off, and I really haven't started looking at these guys. I've yet to see a practice, to tell you the truth. I've yet to see a practice at the Chase Center. I'm starting right now. I'm going to shoot around off days. I'm going to the practices down here in L.A. I'm going to do a lot of homework that way and get ready, because I don't mind admitting, I don't even like to think about basketball in the months of July or August. And the way I am, I've got a lot of other things going on, and I wasn't even in the Bay Area. I don't have, you know, I know talent. And one thing I'm concerned about a little bit until Thompson comes back is how are those three players, Curry, Russell, and Poole, what kind of defense are they going to play? I think that's going to be a challenge for this club right now in the backcourt. So that's something that that I would see right now, but I don't know how they're going to tape it all up. I don't know how Steve is going to. I'm going to talk to Steve this week. I'll know a heck of a lot more. We'll have me on the show in a couple of weeks, and I might say something intelligent. I don't know.
Well, what we do know, JB, is that Steph Curry is pretty good. I think he's all right. I think he's okay. Now, there's been, me and Sam, we've been catching on a lot of media and a lot of the analysis that's going on, and a lot of the question marks are, you know, Steph is ranked outside of the top five in terms of players in the NBA, and hey, you know, maybe the Warriors are kind of, you know, out of the playoff rotation. You know, I've seen people kind of rank him 10th, really, in the Western Conference. So how much does Steph kind of take this into account, and how much do you think he's going to have the type of season where it's, you know, really right back to 2015-16, 2014-15, where he is the MVP? Does he still have that in him? It seems like it, and it seems better than really he's ever been before.
Well, Stephen's very mentally tough. We know that. He loves challenges. He loves to hear that. I've read some things where some people put the Warriors fourth or fifth. So they're all over the place and all over the map right now. But, you know, one thing you have to guard against is for him, but he's been able to do it. He's been he can last a long season. But if he tries to average 40 points a game, he's going to get tired pretty quickly. And so I'd be a little wary of that. But you can't underestimate him because he just has – he's different. You know, and I've been around this league a long time, and there's something special about him. And one thing, you know, just – physically, you know, 5 years ago, he could not create his own shot. He needed help. But now he's worked so hard. I've seen him practice in the past, and it amazes me how hard he worked. But now he can create his own shot. and he's not afraid to do it. And he can go to the basket. You know, he's not exceptionally quick, but he's deceptively quick. And he has moves, and he knows about, he's got great balance, and he can read the defense extremely well. He can see what's going to happen. He's very proactive in that way. And of course, he's a great shooter. And that little step back that he has and gets that off at quick release, he's unique. I've never seen anyone even resemble Stephen Curry. So you can't underestimate him, and I think he can if you want to say he can carry the team. Yes, but I don't want him to have that burden all season long. So, you know, everybody, we'll just see how it goes. But they've got to get some big men healthy. They've got to get Willie Cauley-Stein back. They've got to get Kevon Looney back. Amari Spellman, who only played, 45 to 50 games last year, and they traded Damian Jones for him. He's got to get a little more competitive. He's an outside shooter. He's a big guy, but he really prefers to shoot the ball from the outside. But I don't know enough about him to see how it goes. And, but right now, I know it's a different game, and it's a lot of three-point shooting, but you have to have somebody in there that can defend the rim a little bit better.
Absolutely.
The guys are hurt. The guys are hurt right now.
Absolutely. So, but I think we both kind of agree, when they get healthy, the big man rotation probably makes a little more sense. Whether that means more Looney or more Willie Cauley-Stein, we'll see. My question for you is, what are they going to end up doing at small forward? Because that's the real question when I look at, you know, Steph and D'Angelo Russell will start in the backcourt. Draymond and whether it's Cauley-Stein or Looney will start in the front court. But small forwards very in flux right now.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, their second round pick, Pascal, is kind of a tweener. A little bit there. Is he really a power forward? Can he play small forward? Can he shoot from the outside? That remains to be seen. But they're, you know, that's Alec Burks. I've always liked Alec Burks. I think that's a great signing for the Warriors. But he's got to get back and be healthy. I think, what do you call Marquese Chris? Do you call him a small forward or a power forward?
Maybe even the center at some point, Jim.
I think he's just a big. I think he's a modern big. He's kind of a four.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of a guy that can play a lot of different. I don't even like to put a position on him. To me, he's just a basketball player. Obviously, he's not a backcourt player.
Sure.
But I don't know how they're going. That's, you're right. The small forward, and that's where, is it going to be McKinney? Is he going to make the roster? What about guys like Andrew Harris and Devin Marble, and do they have a shot at all? They've been in the league a little bit. I don't know.
It'll be very interesting. By the way, we'll get you out of here with one more text from the text line. Jim says someone from the 408 says they would give you 5 years of their life to you if they could. So
I may need that in the future. I did want to say one thing because I left off Jacob Evans and. You know, I thought he had a very slow year last year, and I saw him down in the G League also. But he's showing a little more spunk, and I think he could be a pretty good defender too. And he may play a little bit just because of his defense. And I saw him in one of the games already. He hit a couple of shots out there, which, you know, we did not see last year. So I'm kind of encouraged about that.
Very interesting.
If he you know, all of a sudden decides and gets really tough and goes out there and says, okay. Because he's really better at the defensive end.
I was going to say, do you think, because, you know, watching him in summer league, he was okay on defense. I thought he would be maybe a lockdown defender, but is he more 1-2 on the defensively? Can he switch over and guard threes? He might not be big enough, though, right?
Probably not big enough.
Yeah.
No, I think they would take care of him there. But, you know, sometimes a guy needs a wake-up call. I really like to see the league. If they didn't give guaranteed contracts, even if you're a number one pick and you got to go out and make the team, what kind of mentality would there be? And it creates a sense of desperation.
Right.
And some guys come in and they get those contracts, and you know, I'm not going to speculate on anyone, But I just know it's a natural tendency for a lot of guys, because I've seen it, to all of a sudden relax and think they've got it made and stuff. But, you know, it's not so bad to come from the old days when you had to go out and, you know, I played 11 years and I never signed a guaranteed contract. I never asked for one. You couldn't even get them early on anyway. I played it that way. Now, after 4 or 5 years, I knew I was going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're fighting for playing time against your own teammates and stuff. That's why there are a lot of fights in practice in those days. It doesn't happen anymore.
That's a great Jim. Before
I got off the tangent there, I'm sorry, guys.
No, absolutely don't. Keep going. I think everyone loves hearing it. There's one question from the text line we want to ask you before we get you out of here, and that's just kind of talk about you're going to be doing games on radio this year, right?
Yes, and only on the road.
Okay. Are you excited to transition to doing radio games? What are the differences from calling from calling a game on TV and radio? That's kind of something I've always been interested in.
Night and day difference, because on television you're visually connected, so you can, you know, you don't have to call play by play all the time. On radio, it is absolutely mandatory, essential, without question. Tim Roy has to give the call and has to create the look on radio that puts it in the minds of people, and he's so good at doing that. I just got to try to stay out of his way. When I come in, I got to say something. Why something happened, you know, on a particular play, and get in and out quickly. It's totally different. You know, there's not as much glamour on radio. Obviously, I loved TV for 34 years. I did that. But there are some good things about radio. You don't have to wear makeup anymore. Once in a while on the road, especially if we're sitting way up somewhere, I can get away without wearing a tie. And I have to say, and I'm smiling right now, I have to say, I didn't know whether I thought it was a pretty good decision by management to make a change when they came in now to Chase Center. And I think Kalena was the right guy, and I'm really happy for him. He's right across the hall from me, by the way, down here. He's not working, but he came down to observe what's going on. So, I talked with him today. He's a great guy. He's astute. He's a hell of a lot more handsome than I ever was.
Doesn't even need makeup.
And he doesn't need makeup, and he's 40 years younger. It's hard to believe. I have to say, I don't feel this old, but the doggone I am, and it's kind of weird. Anyway, the radio is totally different. I'm not saying that I don't deserve it or whatever, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm at this age. I'm not ready to retire. And I want to keep working, and one season at a time. I've been signing 1-year contracts, and that doesn't bother me at all. And so now I'm doing half the games, and so I'm working to not get lazy, because if I'm not doing all the games at Chase, and I don't want to let anything out of the bag exactly, but there's a possibility of me working on the pregame show from 6 to 7 with John Dickinson. I don't know whether that's going to come to pass or not, but that means I'd come to the home games and have something to do.
Ah, now that's what we like to hear, Jim. That's awesome. Well, that's what we're looking forward to. I know I've, you know, Sam can speak to it as well. Growing up, listening to you was amazing. What I'll probably do from now on is probably put your voice on the radio and just turn the game on mute, and then that's perfect. Now we got to
spend the whole first quarter trying to sync it up perfectly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm excited to listen.
It's kind of interesting because I've known Tom Tolbert a long time. He's going to do the home games, and he and I are very different, and so I think that's kind of good too for the audience. I know you like continuity, but it doesn't bother me at all to do that and everything. So Tom's a great guy, and I like being around him. I did something with him for the Warriors. With a brewery a couple of weeks ago. We had a lot of fun, and neither one of us have an agenda. We're both pretty transparent, and I like that about him, and I try to be that way myself.
Awesome. That's amazing. Warriors fans are excited everywhere. Jim, I know we've taken up way too much of your time. We really appreciate you coming on. That was amazing. We'll have you on next. I love
Thank
it.
You,
we'll
Jim.
Have you on next time. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, Jim Barnett. By the way, the text line is blowing up with people that love Jim and saying that we're terrible. That's, why do you don't need to make fun of us by saying Jim Barnett is great. We know that.
The most positive I've seen the text line is the Jim. I'm excited to have him on the, you know, I'm not ready to let go of Jim on the broadcast. He's just such a staple. I mean, literally our whole lives, he's been on Warrior Broadcast. And I've and I enjoy Clint Osbucci, and I'm excited he gets to do the TV. But it's nice to know that I can still switch on the radio and hear Jim when I want that kind of nostalgic feel.
And it's not like you grow up with him, and it's like, oh, you only like him because you had nobody else, and that was your guy. He was legitimately. I learned basketball from him growing up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I really like a lot of the stuff that he would say, like, hey, you know, the air balls go to the opposing.
Do you remember him during the? During the not so good years of the OOs, it was very instructional. A lot of using the Warriors to display how you shouldn't play basketball.
I was just gonna say, yeah, to tell you how not to play the game. No, it was great. I think he's radio only road games. So I was gonna ask to say what he thought about Chase. By the way, I have a story.
Yeah, we didn't even get there.
Yeah, we didn't get there. We'll have him on in a couple of weeks. He did note a few things. You know, he hasn't attended many practices yet or at all, but he is going to be for the next few weeks. So he's going to find out just how the team looks. So we'll have him on then and really figure out, hey, do they keep Chris? Do they cut McKinney? Who's going to be starting? That type of stuff, right? And so it's going to be very interesting.
He said something interesting about Jordan Poole, and it's a thing that stuck with me, which is his confidence. He's not going to shoot 50% from three. For the season. I mean, if he does, that'd be great. But, you know, if Steph can't do it, I'm not counting anyone else to do it, right? But the one thing that sticks out with Jordan Poole to me is his confidence. He does not – I mean, he looks like a vet. You agree with me, Andy? Well, like, he's not shy taking shots. He's not shy going at guys, and he's not – He plays like it's his fourth year.
You know who that reminds me of? Reminds me of Klay Thompson, the guy who's he might not be as good. He probably won't be as good.
I mean, that's a very high bar. But, so let's be realistic.
But in terms of the way that he's playing, you make a great point. Klay Thompson shot horribly his first season. Jordan Poole.
His first half of his first year, yeah.
So bad.
It's a shooter who couldn't hit shots. And then he started hitting them.
Very frustrating. Klay Ups, remember Klay Ups?
Oh, yeah.
Very frustrating, but he got so much better from then. But he never stopped, though. That's the thing with Klay Thompson. That's the thing with Steph Curry, too. He never stopped. And you look at Jordan Poole and you make that point. He's not going to stop. There are going to be weeks where he's going to be like maybe shooting 25% from
right.
three.
And that's every rookie. That's every player, really. We've seen Steph go through weeks like that. His confidence, combo of his confidence and his skill level is the other thing that stands out to me. He can do some things where I'm like, why did this guy fall to 28?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know how good he's going to end up being. I'm not going to say I watched a ton of Michigan. Everyone remembers that game winner he hit in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I wasn't watching every one of their games. But, I mean, some of the moves he's pulling off the dribble are stuff that, you know, it's not rookie stuff.
No, it's not. And
it's not like end of first round rookie stuff either.
JB made a great point where he probably will end up being a better pro player than he was at a college player. And there's a myriad of reasons for that, and we'll get into them. Jordan Poole, very exciting, playing very well. He might even play minutes with Steph and D'Lo. It might be a thing where he's now with the defense is going to be miserable, but they might need to.
Don't need to play defense if you can score 150.
I was going to say. That's what happened last time. So, all right, let's get to break. We're going to talk more about the Warriors' breakdown training camp, breakdown the two preseason games. They play the Lakers 15 more times in the next week. We'll talk about what they need to see from Steph Curry, D'Angelo Russell, all the players for them to become a playoff team. Warriors World Radio with Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Warriors World Radio continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Randy Liu, Sam Esfandiari, Warriors World Radio. Fleet Week this week, Sam. I can't even sleep because all I can't even take a nap because all I hear is airplanes all day. I could do without
a lot of traffic. A lot of traffic in the city.
I could do without it.
I could do without it also, but, you know, the people like it.
You know what the people like? The people like getting drunk. That's what the people like. It's just another excuse, like beta breakers, you know.
This is content you won't get any other time other than 7 to 9 on Sunday.
You won't get this type of content from any other show other than Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari. Hey, by the way, you think Steph Curry's good at basketball? I'm not sure. I don't know.
I don't know. Kendrick Perkins tells me he's just a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy that brought the Warriors 3 titles and 2 MVPs. He looks like someone that has mastered basketball in a way that you can't if you're in your 20s.
Yeah. I mean, Alec Burks said this today.
Just playing against him for 7-8 years and then actually like being around him every day, you know. Playing pickup with him, scrimmaging with him, he's in a different type of mode right now. He's locked in. It's great to be a part of.
And Steve Kerr earlier also echoed that same sentiment. And does it feel like Steph's kind of in his like the peak of peak Steph? Because I think you and I would both agree the best we ever saw Steph play for an extended period, not like you know a couple games here or there, was 2016.
Correct.
And the way the Warriors are talking about it, they think he's better now. And he might be.
So I agree. It's like when you watch Tim Duncan, you watch Dirk Nowitzki, Kobe Bryant, legends like that. There is a phase. There's several phases in your career, right? The beginning phases, you get to the league. You may be good. You may not be good. Steph's career has been a little bit different where he came into the league and really, you didn't know if he was a superstar. You knew that Tim Duncan and Kobe.
Right.
You knew those guys, LeBron James. You knew those guys were going to be amazing. And with Steph, you thought he'd be good. No idea he would be his MVP
rookie,
good.
His rookie year, it was clear he could play.
Mm-hmm.
It was not clear he would change the way basketball was played.
Absolutely. And now I think in 2015-16, he became probably the most talented and productive player he's ever going to be. But I think now, you know, he's been through so much. He's been through the wars. He's lost on the biggest stage. He's won on the biggest stage. He's made big shots. He's missed big shots. And I think mentally, he's never going to be as, like, that mental toughness combined with his, that he's still in his prime physically, I don't think he'll ever be better than that. I don't think that he had this type of mental ability, like just in terms of knowing where the game is going to be at, you know, understanding the defense, understanding what you have to do at all times. He still struggled with it, you know, back then, but he was so good it didn't matter. Now I think he's felt that out. He understands. I just think that's going to – the team needs every piece of that. They need him to be that great.
Yeah, he looks a lot more in control. Steve Kerr mentioned counter moves. He says he's basically seen every defense possible, and he knows how to counter them. And sometimes that counters a less than flashy, you know, just pass to his teammate, right? But that's growth that, you know, in 2015, Steph would try something. He'd try to make a wow play when he could just go for the simple play there, right?
Yeah, he's becoming a coach's dream. He's really...
Well, he still takes the 30-footers. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But he is, it's just hard to, I don't even know how to describe it. When you score 40 points in 25 minutes in a preseason game, go 14 for 19 from the field, it makes it look so easy.
Yeah. They need it. By the way, so this is.
It makes it look so easy.
Oh, really? That board is.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Sunday night technical difficulties. By the way, if you want to call in, talk about Steph, talk about really anything Warriors, 888-957-9570, and then the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Never seen so much positivity on the text line. It's not the brand of the Warriors World Radio, but we'll take it.
We got to get JB on more often.
Yeah, that's what we got to do. We've got Grant Lifman coming on the next segment. He'll talk to us about the Warriors. He'll talk to us about Chase Center, what it looked like. We were there. We covered game one there. He was there as well. That's an interesting topic because, I mean, what were your thoughts, Sam? Just what was the atmosphere like? What was the arena like?
So I've been to Chase twice now, and I had the pleasure of going once as media and once as a fan. So I got both experiences. And I will say, it is going as a fan, which most of the listeners will go in that way. It's nice. It's just, it's very, very nice. We will see if the noise resonates, but in terms of amenities, food, ability to walk around, sight lines is a big one. It's just as good as Oracle, but with nicer seats, a little more space, and better food.
Yeah, just walking into it, it just feels very futuristic. You know, it's very, you know, fluorescent lighting almost, right?
Yeah.
They have these.
Well, I think both of us are just kind of like, you know, you heard about it for years.
Yeah, yeah,
Chase
yeah.
is coming, and now it's here, and it's like, oh, wow, they play here now. Like, because you're so used to going to Oracle.
Yep.
That it's weird to, this is where they play now.
This is a brand new arena. Now, it's a very big arena, but I will say, if there is noise, if it's a good game, if fans are there and it's a great, and it's good, and it's just, it's Steph Curry's going for 40 in 25 minutes, that place does have potential to be very loud. They have built it out that way.
Yeah, I don't actually think it's that big. It feels bigger because the concourses are bigger, but like the bowl itself, it's pretty, I don't want to say it's intimate, but you know, the seats are really good relative to, you know, if you go to some of the bigger arenas. I don't know if you've been to United Center in Chicago. That's kind of the one that always sticks in my mind, where it's just kind of like, this is just too big for NBA.
Yeah.
Like it's so big. It would take a football stadium. Yeah, it takes an absurd amount of like crowd noise to get the, to feel it.
Yeah, that's what you don't want. And I think they were very conscious of that. That was
absolutely
probably the number one thing. Now, what they also do in very SF fashion is they have food trucks essentially all around the arena. I've never seen so much food in one place. Looks good. I was going to say, Sam, it's a good spot if you want to spend $500.
It is a good date spot. And I'm curious to, because preseason games don't get full capacity. We know that. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it sells out, people are comfortable not going to a preseason game the way they aren't in a regular season game. So I'm curious if it'll be as easy to navigate when you have like the full packed house in there. And that's one of those things we're just going to wait and see. But it feels like it shouldn't be an issue because there's, like you said, it stuck out to me too. There's a lot of food.
There's a Modelo lounge too. At the top of the arena, where you can, it's like a bar, there's a TV spot. You also have to pay like, what was it, like $55 or something, and you can get unlimited food.
Yeah, but you can get into it for free without doing that. So, if you want. I think it's nice. I'm excited to see what it actually is when real game starts. Like we can have all our takes we want from preseason games, but end of the day, it's preseason.
That TV's pretty big.
Oh, that's a second thing.
It is just unlike
if you're sitting in the 200s. It's hard to watch the game because your eyes are going to be drawn to that TV.
You are going to be watching the game on TV at the game. And it also comes with